The 30th of June, Tuesday, and the last day of the month. The quiet hinge where the year tips over into July and the second half begins. If you came looking for a shiny new model this morning, you'll be a little disappointed. Nobody shipped a Frontier system overnight. But the ground underneath the models was moving all day. What I have for you is four stories about the machinery of scale, the memory, the silicon, the cleverness, and the scoreboard. Grab your coffee and let's get into them. First up, the biggest number I saw all day. And it didn't come from a lab. It came from a government. South Korea used a Monday presidential briefing with the chairman of Samsung and SK Hynix in the room to put a national industrial policy floor under the AI memory boom. The headline package is enormous, roughly $518 billion for four new memory fabrication plants in the country's southwest, another $52 billion for a high-bandwidth memory packaging hub, and about $356 billion for AI data centers built by SK, GS, and Naver, running out to 2035. Add it all up, and the announced commitments clear $900 billion, and the company-level pledges underneath are larger still. Samsung laid out something on the order of $1.7 trillion of spending over the next decade, picking the city of Gwangju, a few hundred kilometers south of Seoul, for a new fab paired with a data center in Haenum. SK Group put forward roughly $1.4 trillion, half of it to expand chip capacity, half for AI data centers, with SK Telecom leading a 15-gigawatt build-out. Here's the comparison that put it all in perspective for me. The four big American hyperscalers, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, and Microsoft, will together spend about $650 billion on AI infrastructure this year. So a single nation's chip makers are now pledging multiples of the combined annual capital spending of the largest American cloud companies. The president framed it as the country's triple axis, semiconductors, physical AI, and AI data centers, and said the year ahead is when South Korea has to make itself, in his word, irreplaceable. And the why is simple. Memory, not logic, has quietly become the thing that gates how big a model you can train and how cheaply you can serve it. The shortage traders have started tolling Ramageddon. The one caution I'd hold on to is timing. Fabs take years to come online, and the same coordinated build-out that relieves a shortage in 2028 is exactly the kind of capacity wave that has, in every past cycle, produced a memory glut and a price crash. But for today, the signal is that memory is being treated as national infrastructure at a scale we simply haven't seen before. Moving on to the second story, which is the day's strongest piece of research, and it's a direct argument about scale. A team posted a paper to the archive titled, more or less, Scaling the Horizon, Not the Parameters. The model is called Agents A1, and it's a 35 billion parameter mixture of experts system, small by current standards. The claim is that on long horizon agent tasks, it matches trillion parameter models. That's a roughly 30-fold reduction in parameters at comparable performance, so it's worth understanding how they say they did it. They scale two things that aren't parameter count. The first is the length of the agent's experience. They built an infrastructure that wires together external knowledge, actions, observations, and verifier outcomes, and used it to generate training trajectories that average 45,000 tokens each. These are long, multi-step episodes, not short question and answer pairs. The second is breadth, specialist ability across six different domains. A. Training runs in three stages. First, broad supervised fine-tuning to teach general agent behavior. Second, they train a separate teacher model for each domain to capture its expertise. And third, this is the heart of it. They use a multi-teacher on-policy distillation that roots by domain, folding all six specialists down into one deployable student model, so you don't have to serve a whole rack of experts at inference time. The numbers are against named trillion parameter systems. KimiK 2.6 and DeepSeek Veo 4 Pro. Agents A1 comes out ahead on a spread of long horizon benchmarks, 56.4 on one, 80.6 on an instruction following test, 79 on a Frontier Science Olympiad, and it stays competitive on the hard coding and reasoning suites. What struck me is that this wasn't a one-off. On-policy distillation was a theme all across today's research. Separate papers on multi-teacher distillation, on how stale that distillation can get before it breaks, on routing it by problem difficulty. The field is actively working out how to compress specialist behavior into one small student. The honest caveat, the benchmark suite is the author's own, and trillion parameter level is a claim about these particular long horizon tasks, not a universal verdict. Replication will tell. But as a direction, doing more with the horizon instead of the parameter count is a genuinely interesting bet. Third up, a story about where the models actually run. Anthropic's Claude models reached general availability inside Microsoft Foundry, hosted on Microsoft's Azure Cloud and running on NVIDIA's newest GPUs, the GB300 Blackwell Ultra. In plain terms, if your company already lives on Azure, you can now stand up Claude-based agents directly on the latest NVIDIA silicon without leaving Microsoft's cloud. On the hardware that NVIDIA names, this runs on the rack-scale GB300 systems with their high-speed InfiniBand networking, the configuration built for big context, high-throughput inference. NVIDIA's pitch is total cost of ownership, that the efficiency of the platform lowers the cost of running agentic systems, including setups where Claude orchestrates its own specialized sub-agents across different parts of a business. And they're not just providing the chips. NVIDIA is integrating its tooling into the Anthropic stack, exposing what it calls verified agent skills that give Claude agents domain-specific abilities, and offering a secure workspace blueprint that handles identity, network access, credentials, and runtime policy down at the infrastructure layer, rather than leaving all of that to application code. This builds on the partnership that Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Anthropic announced back in November, and this is the moment it goes generally available on Azure. I'll be straight about what this is and isn't. It's a distribution story, not a capability one. The announcement is short, and it carries no throughput figures, no latency numbers, no benchmarks against the previous generation of hardware. What it signals is positioning a frontier lab, making its models a first-class, governed option for the enterprises standardized on Microsoft and Blackwell Ultra in the very same managed environment where those customers also reach competing models. For a company already on that stack, the real change is that adopting Claude agents is no longer a separate procurement project, and the security scaffolding comes in the box. And for our fourth and final story today, the scoreboard itself became a business. Arena, the crowdsourced leaderboard that started as a Berkeley research project back in 2023, the one nearly everyone in this field points to when they argue about which model is best, has reached $100 million in annualized revenue. And it did that just 8 months after it launched anything commercial at all. Here's how the pieces fit. The leaderboard stays free. You type a prompt, two anonymous models answer. You pick the better one, and more than 10 million of those human judgments now feed the rankings. The money comes from a separate product, launched in September, that sells deep performance analytics to the labs and enterprises. The trajectory is steep. When the company raised $150 million Series A in January, at a $1.7 billion valuation, its revenue was running around $30 million a year. It's more than tripled since. The chief executive, a Berkeley postdoc who co-founded the company, alongside the Databricks co-founder, Ion Stoica, was refreshingly candid about the accounting. He pointed out that a lot of people don't even realize they make money, and that because they charge for usage, the revenue isn't technically recurring despite the run rate label. So why does a leaderboard's balance sheet matter? Because it tells you that evaluation has quietly become its own product category. The yardstick the whole field uses to measure progress is now a venture-backed company worth nearly $2 billion, and the labs it ranks are also among its paying customers. That last part is also the standing critique. Crowdsourced human preference can be gamed, and a referee that sells analytics to the teams, its scoring sits in a spot the community will keep watching closely. But the fact remains, measuring the models is now a business nearly as richly valued as some of the labs being measured. So what was this morning really about? Four stories, and not one of them was a new model, which is exactly the point. Today was about everything around the models, the memory to hold them, and a country spending like its future depends on building it. The compute to run them, going generally available on the newest silicon. The cleverness to need less of them, a small model reaching for what the giants do. And the scoreboard to judge them, now a company in its own right. When the releases go quiet, this is the layer that shows itself. The picks and shovels, the plumbing, the meters. Read past any one of these headlines and the full digest is waiting for you. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, keep your eye on the foundations. They're the part that moves first.